Good evening and welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony, our Wednesday contemplative worship service. I'm grateful for each of your presence here, wherever you may be, from this sacred space to your sacred space. We send the love of God. It's good to see each of you this evening here in the room as well. Tonight we'll hear a passage from the book of Acts, which is a beautiful reminder for us in our own personal work to be vigilant over our lives. And we'll ask the Holy Spirit to bless this service now. Why are you here? What is it that you wish from this service? Whenever you might watch this or listen to this or wherever you might be, what is the Spirit calling to you tonight? Amen. And we begin our service in the name of God transcendent, God immanent, and God omnipresent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen.
Thank you. And now let us rest in the silence of God's love for 20 minutes of centering prayer. The reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 20. At Miletus, Paul spoke to the presbyters of the church of Ephesus, "Keep watch over yourselves and over the whole flock, of which the Holy Spirit has appointed you overseers, in which you tend the church of God that he acquired with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come among you, and they will not spare the flock. And from your own group, men will come forward, perverting the truth to draw the disciples away after them. So be vigilant and remember that for 3 years, night and day, I unceasingly admonished each of you with tears. And now commend you to God and to that gracious word of his that can build you up and give you the inheritance among all who are consecrated. I have never wanted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You know well that these very hands have served my needs and my companions. In every way I have shown you that by hard work of that sort we must help the weak. And keep in mind the words of the Lord Jesus, who himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" When he had finished speaking, he knelt down and prayed with them all. They were all weeping loudly as they threw their arms around Paul and kissed him, for they were deeply distressed that he had said that they would never see his face again. Then they escorted him to the ship. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
Tonight, we'll talk about the work idea, second force. In particular, the concept calculating second force, or remembering that there will be second force. If you've ever put an address into your Google Maps or whatever map app you use, and if you take a different turn from the route it has prescribed for you, on mine it'll say recalculating route, and then it will find the way, the quickest way, from the new direction I had just taken. And second force is kind of like that, that it's constantly responding to our first force, and it's constantly rerouting us, even in ways we may not understand when we make our choices or decisions or actions. We can count on there being second force in our lives, and we can count on it redirecting us, and we can count on God's grace showing up as a third force to reconcile the conflict or the tension or the difficulty or the difference between first force and second force. Now, in this passage of Scripture, Paul has a first force wish. This is Paul, who has written several of the New Testament letters and became the primary proponent for Christianity outside of Jerusalem. And really, he was the main spreader of Christianity in the first century. He had such an impact on people's lives. His first force was so huge to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ that it constantly met second force. And by second force, I mean like gale force winds. His first force was so big, it literally shipwrecked him. It literally brought enemies against him. His life was, several attempts were made on his life. And he had such difficulties, hardships, famine. In some cases, he was without clothes. He was imprisoned. He was hungry. He was sick. He was alone. He was forsaken. All these responses to his huge first force to preach the gospel of Jesus. And so this is his moment of kind of recognizing, perhaps, that he wishes for this group of people he's about to leave to calculate second force, to not proceed without the awareness that his departure will create second force in their lives. And so he wishes for them to keep watch over their lives, to literally be vigilant over their lives, because there are these things he refers to as wolves who will come into the flock, who will come into the community, and will destroy the community. And so he recognizes the second force is going to be something that he calls the wolf. And I find that to be fascinating, that he refers to enemies of his preaching as wolves. Now, psychologically and inwardly and spiritually, we can see in our own lives that the wolf opposes that which is good. The wolf opposes that which is wise. The wolf opposes that which is loving. The wolf nature, in the lore of humankind, the wolf was the enemy that stole little children and ate them. The wolf was the enemy that stole little flock animals and ate them. The wolf is what destroyed peace and harmony in small villages and communities. The wolf was not just a lone wolf, it was oftentimes in a pack. And so the wolf became this mythological creature that was feared and dangerous, deadly. It's a beautiful symbol for the second forces in our lives that come up against us in sneaky ways, that surprise us, that take us down, that take our families down, that hurt us, that do damage, that frighten us. The second force of this world is all around us, and we need to calculate it so that we can be prepared. And the way we calculate second force is by being watchful, watching our lives. And this is the concept of self-observation, to be observant of where our thoughts, feelings, and emotions and sensations are being placed, so that we can be alert to the fact that second force is on its way or occurring right now. And more importantly, to call upon help from above to respond to that second force, to that wolf in our life. Now, I don't know what your wolf is. Each of us has a wolf. Each of us has a second force that comes up against us all the time in the same similar ways and patterns. And we learn a lot about ourselves by studying our wolves. We can discover ourselves more fully and completely by learning the kind of second force we keep drawing. Our second force reveals a lot about ourselves, reveals a lot about the first force that we're sending out into the world, what it is that we're really wanting and desiring. And so oftentimes, you know, the important part here is learning to calculate second force. And this is what I most love about this passage, is because he's basically instructing his people to calculate second force, to be on guard, to be vigilant, to watch out. Now, there's a beautiful influence here that speaks to something that I just want to highlight, and that is, he says this, he commends them to God and to God's gracious word that can build you up and give you the inheritance among all who are consecrated. And I love this because it teaches us of the role of the quality of influences in our lives. And in particular, the role of asking for help from God as a way of mediating the force that comes against us as the wolf, to ask for help from God, to call upon God's word in particular. God's word is another way of talking about God's wisdom that shows up in different ways for specific situations, and situations that are perplexing to our human mind dissolve in the presence of God's wisdom, God's word. It's very powerful and active in ways we can't always understand. And the word of God scatters the wolf and the wolf packs. The word of God has a way of neutralizing that wolf before the wolf even gets to you. The word of God, as it were, is a high-pitched presence that surrounds you, encircles you with an energy, and it wards off that second force wolf, so to speak. The Word of God is alive and active, and it protects us in so many instances from the destroying patterns that come up in the second force in our lives. So oftentimes the wolf for me is of my own doing. The second forces in my life are oftentimes of my own doing. In other words, I can blame no one else. I can put it on no one else other than myself. And so this becomes the most tricky part about second force, is discovering the wolf in myself, discovering the wolf in my heart, because it's easy to make someone else or some situation or something that's happening the wolf. But what's more tricky and more, I think, important for all of us is to discover where the wolf is lurking in our own hearts and in our own emotions, in our own thoughts. And this becomes all the more reason to hold the Word of God in our hearts and to have it almost like a mantra to say and to respond to those wolves that come up, wolves of fear, wolves of anger, wolves that take us down because they create disharmony in us and in some cases even physical disease in us. So we have to be on guard. We get to be on guard of these wolves and the role in which our first force plays in drawing the second force. It's something to think about, and we can learn from St. Paul and his care for his people, the flock that he tended, the care for our eyes, the care for our multiplicity, the care for all the different aspects of ourself, and to ask ourselves to be on guard, to be vigilant, and to remember God and to listen for God's word. You've heard what I've had to say. Let's take a moment now in the silence. What is the Word of God speaking to you tonight? Holy Spirit of God, we ask for your grace and help when we confront the second forces that come up against us. Bring your reconciling power and bring about the very best possible future for our transformation into Christ. We pray this in Christ. Amen. And let's remember the truth together as we take our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our hands or into our consciousness and into our hearts. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully, and how blessed we are to simply remember God. And we dedicate these tithes, gifts, and offerings, whether they're given online or mailed in or dropped off, to the victory of consciously chosen love over the lies of separation and our useless acting out from fear. Amen. Thank you.
Let's join together in prayer. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us the faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear an answer when we ask. And Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies, and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us into love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and after having said the blessing, he broke it. And he gave it to his friends, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which has been given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, Jesus took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is a cup of my blood, the blood of a new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and in your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Creator, for the work of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen.
Thank you each for your presence here this evening and the blessing of the flock of God. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and peace, presence, and power of the Holy Spirit is with each of us now and always. Amen.